Welcome to the Urban Complex, a system of interrelated, emotion-charged ideas, feelings, memories, and impulses. This name takes the definition and lays out what a listener should expect. A podcast where ideas, feelings, and memories collide, leading towards meaningful change. I'm co-host Chris Richardson. Please enjoy the journey with the Urban Complex. Smarter cities for a stronger tomorrow.
All opinions by Chris Richardson, Dominic Poppin, and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Arizona State University, the Arizona Department of Education, or the Arizona Commerce Authority. Any endorsement of or messages from sponsors are solely supporting the production of this podcast. There is no relationship further than podcast purposes with any sponsor unless separately created with another entity. Enjoy the Urban Complex. Smarter cities for a stronger tomorrow.
All right, Dom, Happy New Year, 2022. I feel like I need to blow some horns or something and be wearing some funny hats.
I know. I should have had a little New Year's hat on or something.
Right on. Well, but by this time, everyone's blowing it out. And here we are. Feels great. You know, we're in the episodes of the 50s now. I mean, we had our 50th a few weeks ago. Pretty amazing. We started this thing, not exactly sure what to expect. Smart Region event is right around the corner. Oh, my God. It's going to be bigger, better, everything this year. This is just crazy to think it's 2022. I don't know. It's been both a fast and a slow year at the same time. So much happened.
Yeah, it's kind of funny to think about that. It's like, wow, 50 already. And it's stuff like this that seems to be really, you know, accelerating, going so fast, blinking, can't even remember who our first guest was. But and then other things, it's like, wow, COVID and everything, still working remotes, you know, maybe another shutdown coming. So it's just like, oh, you know, you just never know what to think with the year. But it's what a fun year. I mean, I have been so excited to have this. I mean, to have, you know, a side thing where we're interviewing leaders from all over the country, all over the world. I forgot we went international.
Totally. Too.
So, I mean, it's just incredible because, I don't know, for me at least, when you talk to people that have the same passion for, you know, make your stronger community or smarter communities for a stronger tomorrow, it reinvigorates me. You know, I'm sure it reinvigorates you as well when you get to hear.
We just keep having these amazing guests. Like we started off strong and like they just keep coming. And then they tell us the guests kind of open doors to other ones or you reach out now and people will. I mean, I think 95% of anyone I've ever asked, I didn't even know, has said yes. And the only time they didn't, I got them too quick. They were 2 months into their job. They said, hey, I just need to still let my feet settle under me and I'll be back. And so I just need to circle back. It was a great opportunity. So I don't know. It's just been amazing.
I know. I can't wait till we start to have people back on to hear updates and things like that.
Totally, because some of the people that we've had on earlier, there's some amazing stories. I mean, I know we're going to have the mayor of Tempe again. So that's kind of not the same folks, but we'll have the same entity. Right. And I know they're a big part of our event. And so it should be fun to see what they've done in the year.
Yeah, what a great progress. I know. I remember I was like, no way we're going to be able to fill this up. It's too
I don't know, Don. There's a lot of stories and other ones need to be told. So.
No, it's been a lot of fun. Really looking forward to this recap of what the last quarter, but really kind of the whole year and highlighting some of the themes we've heard throughout. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying about too. Time to tell the story. Let's do it. Let's see what we've done over the year.
Here we go. We'll get it started.
Support for this episode of The Urban Complex comes from Worldwide Technology.
What if we could connect people to new possibilities, turn thinking into a way forward, solve problems before they become a problem, and share the future with everyone? We can. At WWT, we connect businesses to technology to make the impossible possible, to reach better decisions faster, to accelerate progress. Together, let's make a new world happen.
Well, it is weird introing back to ourselves, but in a year in recap, kind of makes sense to do so. So we thought what better way to dig into what we saw for a year of the Urban Complex was go to a conversation that Dom and I led for a group. What was it, back in July or August? We had kind of 50 leaders from public sector. And we put together a few themes. And you see up here, this was one theme that every show on the Urban Complex seemed to have, if not, you know, 90%, is that smarter communities are not about the tech. And Kevin, who's here, which was also great to have Department of Child Services from Indiana, which is great, just viewing in and of itself for smart cities, how do you protect children and their well-being? But he really kept focusing multiple times about if you get the processes and the people right, you will figure out what you need to solve, and then the tech can follow. And I think we, in various ways, other people said that throughout, but just a nice start to this. Dom, why don't you take the first theme? What do you got?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, I completely agree. It seems to be the theme. It's about solving challenges. It's not about the tech. The tech is an enabler. And so, you know, one of the main things that I know I always harp on, because being that kind of governance nerd, always wondering how, you know, organizations are structuring themselves to be successful. So the theme that really popped out to me as our theme one was organizational structures for success. So again, if you're standing up a smart city program or department within your organization, how you structure that, the power you give to the leaders, it all matters, because it enables them with the structure and the framework to be successful in their jobs. And so, you know, we have Emily Yates and Laura Bryan here from the last quarter, but the one I really wanted to point out, you know, is Michael from Aurora. Because I think the line that stuck the best with you was the mayor saying, you know, he's the CEO of the city. But as he did that, you know, he really realized that, hey, if I want Michael to get things done, which he's obviously done, he needs to have the freedom and the structure for success. And you can really see that Michael's been giving that kind of that runway to go out, try new things, build new programs, and just be successful. You can really tell that they've run it like a business and like an organization. Another one that I just want to highlight here is Jordan Davis from Columbus. You know, she has a similar model that we're doing here, kind of a regional approach. But what the mayor has done in that partnership with Jordan is enabled her organization to really be that kind of innovation department on behalf of the city, right? Provide them with the resources, but then the empowerment could go partner with private sector, go partner with other organizations like the university, and really bring us back programs that can help benefit and drive the city forward. So, you know, Michael and Aurora, Jordan Davis in Columbus were two of the big ones. Chris, anyone that you want to highlight here?
I'm not going to bring in another guest per se, but I'm going to reinforce Jordan Davis and the structure. It doesn't have to be necessarily the tie to the city structure either. What I thought was great is they used that leadership structure. They had their that group of like 60 CEOs, and they used that amazingly. They had that group of young leaders, and they used that amazingly. And so I thought Jordan did really well is leverage the strengths of Columbus that were already existing for quite some time. So they had that trust and rapport, and then they used this big mission to go after. Remember, they missed the Olympic bid or something like that, and then they said, well, hey, we've got this group together. Let's go after this $40 million Smart Columbus bid, and boom, yeah, they pulled it together because they had those structures in place to cross to canvas the landscape. I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, that is great. Again, I think it shows the importance of public-private partnerships that is emerging in the smart city space. And you're right. I think it was the presidential. They're going after like.
Yes, that's right. It was a Democratic Party. It wasn't elected. Right,
yeah. Well, great. Yeah. So theme one, again, organizational structures for success. Take time up front to build out the structure and the framework to let yourself be successful over the long run. Theme two, Chris, over to you.
Yeah, ecosystem building. This one's amazing. So we didn't talk about Kamal in our last summary back in July. She came on just after. But boy, what she's doing in Michigan's amazing. They have such long vision view, but they're building these things that the ecosystem can build around, and like these moats, so to speak, when in business speak, of they give them Michigan defensible play. Like they've got this massive area of distance and the data collected on all the vehicles, and they've got such an ecosystem of production of vehicles anyways, and now they're bringing in the tech production of vehicles and now the startup community around it, and they just keep layering these things on over and over again. I mean, we talked about Deborah Lamb before in our previous, and what they're doing with food production. I wanted to add one of the new ones that's not on the list here, and that's Michael Crow of ASU. I thought his message to cities was amazing. Wake up. But he's like, well, seriously, literally, he's like, yeah, hey, totally, if you're a leader doing the same thing you were doing 10 years ago, you should get out of your job and get right to that's going to push the envelope. And one of the things, obviously, selfishly, but you've seen Michael Crow and ASU do this for our broader landscape, is embed this university and all the research and all the student power and all the funds that can come through this public-private partnership, leverage that as the ecosystem and nucleus to help drive change too. And we have seen that theme of the university being at the center in some of the places like Pittsburgh and Deborah on there with Georgia Tech and whatnot. So I thought that was a great piece of ecosystem. How about you? Anything to add?
No, yeah, just to highlight that, you know, it's funny as we're sitting here doing this, like how theme one builds on theme two and having the structure in place to build the ecosystem that then the structure allows you to leverage, as Crow was saying, and what Kamal is doing. I think you just hit the nail on the head on this one. I was trying to decide which one's more important, but they're almost inseparable. You need one or the other to build on the other. And so,
oh, and they really build on each other to feed into theme three as well. Why don't you jump there?
That's exactly kind of where I was going as I was thinking about this. You know, there people are leveraging, like Kamal is leveraging the structure and the ecosystem to then drive this next generation economic development, which is theme three. We're really seeing the smart city movement as a tool to drive a new path for economic development. It's no longer about let's get HQ2s and let's get, you know, these big corporate relocates. It's not about that anymore, especially with COVID and the kind of the market for corporate real estate just kind of shrinking as each day goes by. It's really about how are we leveraging our assets, technology to drive next generation economic development. We have Brandon Brahman from Peachtree Corners up here, and what he's done with that, you know, leveraging the Living Lab in Peachtree to get companies to locate in Peachtree and then test technologies that's then adding economic development. So two people that I wanted to highlight on this one was one, Crow. Simply just to build on what you said, I won't harp on too much, but I mean, just seeing what ASU has done, leveraging this idea of ecosystem and kind of a real estate play to really drive economic development.
SkySong, Novus Innovation Corridor. I mean, 335 acres of new build. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's just incredible what he's doing. But then to put a new guest up there that we haven't talked about yet, Mandy Crawford from Texas. What I really loved about her was that what the Artificial Intelligence Center of Excellence that she was doing, what by creating a safe place for policymakers, department directors to come in, test the technology, fiddle with it, understand it better, and then go out and leverage it in ways to not only solve problems, but also drive new forms of business development, economic development in their communities, right? Remember, it was one of their legislatures who she brought in. He got to play with it, test it, and now he's sponsoring a bill for a lot more money to help this really expand and scale. So I think it's just this idea of, again, leveraging assets and then technology to drive economic development in new ways. Anything to add on there, Chris?
Let's see. You know, it's just, you know, I do. So Jen Tift of Syracuse, I thought that was amazing how they used COVID funds. I can't remember. You've already fact-checked me once, speaking of presidential candidates. I'm always directionally accurate, never perfect ever. But like, I think they got like $240 million or something from COVID funds. And talk about an amazing way to try to catalyze change, but also their own economic development. They wanted to make sure that was a piece of what they got out of the investments to not only kickstart and modernize, but actually bring funds there too. And back to organizational structures, they needed to kind of align. They needed to have planning activities. They needed to have long-term wins, short-term wins. They needed to figure out how they made them sustainable. And I thought Jen's approach to that was great.
Yeah, and it's just another thing to highlight here is sometimes if you're trying to sell your project, right, internally, upwards to mayor and council, sometimes understanding how you're leveraging technology to solve problems is actually also generating economic development. If you're, you know, inside trying to help sell your program, think about how it's also adding to economic development within your community.
Exactly. Because it's not about the tech. So pilots, pivots, and vision, you know, we don't need to go back to these folks. They did such a great job, you know, Michael and the team at Tempe. Here, you know, I'm going to jump to Jason Wittett. We've known with Jason and the ASU Smart City Cloud Innovation Center. It's powered by Amazon Web Services. I mean, you talk about pilots everywhere, proofs of concepts everywhere. I think they've knocked out more than 30 of these since they started. Jason dug into them. So many water conservation, homelessness, you know, there and chatbots, and I mean, list goes on and on. And some of those things they solve for one, and guess what? Like the city of Phoenix with a chatbot that went into their RFP. City of Tempe, who's right here, Mark and Rosa, they're actually using that, what came out of that challenge, into some stuff they're doing. And that's the beauty of pilots, pivots, and vision is you can inform along the way. You take off bite-sized chunks. You take away the risk, but you stay within your vision. And I don't know. I think that's just a great theme.
How about you? Yep. And only thing to add on that is, you know, our almost last guest, Eric Cardwell with the Atlas, right? Once you do the pilots, go tell your story.
Yeah,
right?
Great point. Yeah. Don't forget to tell the story. Like, here, come on the show, Go out there, put it on the Atlas. That's a great point.
Yep. So I just want to add that. Like, that's what's great about the Atlas. He's creating a centralized marketplace for people to tell their stories and learn from each other. So love it. So theme five, I think this is going to be a theme for quite some time.
Yeah, so much momentum since we
started this episode. Yep. So theme five is digital equity and inclusion, something very important to me and the work I'm doing right now. So Josh and Aaron from ASU, Josh from Detroit. You know, one I wanted to bring up here is Dan Guttwein from Intel and the N50 project. Again, you know, this concept of empowering the next 50% of the world's population, providing them with equipment, digital skill training, and then, you know, the tech support necessary to increase participation online. Because once you're online, once you're connected, I mean, there is a world of opportunity, there's a world of knowledge, and there's a world of access for you. It's just getting those individuals, those people online. It's a massive challenge. It's a massive project, but, you know, one person at a time. Right. And so I just think it's so important because every almost government that I speak to across the country and even across the world is talking about this. How do we ensure that we're not expanding the digital divide, but we're shrinking it with each and every program that we're doing? So we're excited to be partnered with Dan and Intel and the N50 to figure out how might we do that here in Arizona. How might we ensure every Arizonan is connected, supported, and now has the access that they need to human enriching applications to succeed in life? Because as we know, whether Chris, right, whether you're in K-12 or you're just in the economy, everything is almost going digital. And so we just need to make sure everyone is prepared. So just a big, big theme that I think for the near future, not the long future, really.
Yeah, I mean, and we can't forget Cleveland. Dorothy Bennick was on here, CEO of Digital C. My boss at ASU, Lev Gonick, was the one that introduced her. They've been working together forever. They think they got like 30 plus 10 million to kickstart their effort. What I thought was super interesting about that episode, not just the story, how they got the money, was also the work they put into the community. This is about digital equity and inclusion. They were making sure they went out and did what they call them picnic events or something like that. And they said they interacted with like 1,000 folks in person around a lunch setting, around picnic tables and whatnot, to talk about how do they make these things real to them. That's super important. And then I can't go without saying, talking about my current boss, she's on maternity leave, that's Superintendent Kathy Hoffman, and what they've done with the Office of Digital Teaching and Learning. So there's some aspect of digital equity there. We're trying to tie into the work that's being done by UDOM and WWT and N50 with Intel around getting access to the home. But then there's the piece of how do we make sure the kids and the students and the teachers can use the tech in the classrooms. And by the way, I don't think I've told anyone on the podcast this. In a very short period of time, we got the funding to create the program. We've established communities of practice. We got 20% of the state's education agencies to commit and give us data in our inaugural opportunity assessment with data. So we have like 120 data points. That's even low. I think like 200 data points of where all of our data, where our opportunities are, where our gaps are, things that we can focus on. And the superintendent did that with just drumming up, talking to all the districts, all the superintendents across the state. That's been super rewarding. So hopefully you'll see this, as you mentioned, this theme is just going to continue access, making it work, making it relevant, solving gaps, and taking it to the next level.
Yep, that's awesome. Congrats on that, by the way.
Thank you. Finally, the mindset for smarter cities. You know, we had Mitch Weiss. Those who don't know, we had Mitch sign books, and we give them to our podcast guests as a nice gift. All about, you know, empowering and kind of changing and taking risk. I think some people that kind of demonstrate this. I mean, who David Grant? I mean, look at what he's done. He's been in all sorts of areas in San Diego, cutting new paths, doing an Alpha Carlsbad. I think another one that was really in there, she already referenced her before, but Mandy Crawford. I just thought the way by which they're trying to get leverage across the state, it really is a mindset. They're designing things, whether it's the AI Center of Excellence you mentioned. She talked about a super app. They talked about data as an asset. They're organizing across state entities, and we're starting to see some of that. I just had lunch with J.R. Sloan and seen some of the stuff we're doing here in Arizona, similarly between the Department of Education, Department of Administration. And those things are game changing. When you have the right mindset, like Crow said, take a different path, go for it, try something new, take some risk, and you follow these other themes, pilot, pivot, persevere, and tell the story, right? This is the theme. So I don't know, it's just exciting. There's so much content in here. You can go into any of these guests. Anything on the mindset that you want to share?
Nope. I think you said everything perfectly. It's this more than anything. I mean, it takes a special person to want to work in the smart city space, right? There's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of obstacles to overcome, but you have to have that mindset of, hey, I'm going to get it done. I'm going to figure out ways to bring in other people to get it done. And, you know, I think Mitch and that the book is just incredible, and it means so much. And I think you can see it through every guest that we have on. They're just so excited to tell their stories. They're so excited about the positive impact that they're making in their communities. It's just a different type of person that it really takes to lead sorts of smart city efforts.
You just made me think of, I can't give away too much because it could get me in trouble, but like, it does take a different person, because I even got a little bit of a jibe from someone that I'm really impressed with. They're an amazing leader, but they've always been skeptical of the smart city space. And they said, yeah, keep up the great work. Let me know when you make a smart city. And that's like, and it was not a compliment. It was like, it was kind of like a show me the money thing. There's so much that goes into this stuff, and it just takes time, but it's kind of like the ecosystem. You keep adding. And I know between Department of Education that I've been working at, ASU, we have so many assets that can contribute. And we've heard so many of these stories throughout. So exciting times.
Definitely exciting. Well, should we shift over to Cracks in the Pavement now?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Support for this episode of The Urban Complex comes from MST.
MST is a Salesforce certified integrator. We work on building customer experience solutions and deploy them for our customers. As we started evolving, our why also continued to evolve as a company. Over the last 3 years, the whole approach was really revolving around what we call 3 C's, which is customers, colleagues, and community.
All right. Well, that was the past, 2021. Let's bring in 2022. Let's talk a little bit about what we want to do. I'm sure we'll continue to bring on amazing guests and have similar stories. But let's bring a few themes for what our audience should expect in 2022. I know for one, we explored 2 European international topics last year. We want to do more of that. I know I'm trying to get, we've had some guests talk about Singapore before. I've got an interesting one in Malaysia that's coming to fruition, but it's still a little bit on the horizon. So more of the international flavor, I think, will be kind of an interesting perspective. What do you see in the future, Dom?
Yeah, that's great. You know, especially with some of our programs that we've got going, we definitely want to get that international perspective. You know what I've been interested in, and talking to some of the people that are listening to the podcast, you know, some have asked, you know, could we possibly do some like deep dive use case stories? So a specific initiative within a city or other organization, and really take the time, the hour, the 45 minutes, to actually deep dive a little bit more into the specifics, not necessarily technical architectures, but more, you know, more how the program, you know, what from ideation to execution, talk about the program more into the specifics, so that way others that are looking to do a bike share program can learn more specifics of how it happened, how it got launched, what were the barriers, what were the obstacles, what were the pitfalls, right? And so that way they can learn a little bit more about specific programs or projects, because to date, it's been more about the high level overview of the person or their path from smart cities.
Like it. I know you and I were super excited with Artie and trying to get out to Atlanta and doing something on the road. We know how much we learn by being with people when we're at conferences and whatnot. We thought that'd bring a little really interesting flair to the urban complex to mix it up like that. We know for the Smart Region event next week, we've got some people that are coming that we're hoping to get on the show. We definitely have one, probably two, but still it's not the same. We want to go to where they're at. And that's something we're looking forward to. I know we were even, when we were doing Atlanta, we were kind of thinking, hey, if we pull this off, we can get to Barcelona, and then everything kind of fell back and that, you know, we'll see, but so I'm still very promised.
Yeah.
We can make that happen.
That's the goal. And 'cause you never know where the Urban Complex podcast might go with a cold one in our hands. Yeah. yeah. And maybe the last one that I want to touch on is, you know, more mayor and council perspectives. I think we did a good job. We had, you know, a couple here and there, but I really think understanding the elected leaders and their thought process and their perspectives and their policy. And
there's some mayors really getting behind some bold visions. That's a good point.
Yeah. Totally. So I think that'd be like the last one for me, for our audience to look out for in, you know, 2022.
All right. Well, great year, 2021. Some things to look forward to 2022. But like always, we dig in with our cracks in the pavement. Dom, I think you found one this week. What do you got for us?
Yeah, no, this one's just interesting because a lot of mayors, city managers, CIOs, they're talking about participatory budgeting more and more. And while it's like a perfect theory, right? It's a great, you know, course in your public administration master's class, but putting a participatory budget into execution is very difficult because think about it. You're just, hey, we'll set money aside and we'll have the citizens vote on where they want the money to go. Well, that's great. Sometimes people don't participate. Sometimes they do, you know, right. I think who was it from Lisbon, you know, they did it well. I think, you know, the famous, you know, Madam Mayor from Paris is a good example, but it looks like LA has officially launched a participatory budget program for next year called LA Repair. It's going to allow the citizens in a certain area, $8.5 million, to dedicate that budget towards whatever they choose or whatever they vote on. So it's really just launching, so we'll see where it goes. But I know a lot of cities will be, again, talking about deep dive into a program. This will be a good one to bring whoever's running that program and say, how did you do it? How did you engage? What were the results? What were the pitfalls, right? This might be a perfect use case story on the Urban Complex next year.
Yeah, the REPAIR stands for Reforms for Equity and Public Acknowledgement of Institutional Racism. We'll see how that turns into use of the funds. It'll be interesting. I know when we talked to Dorothy of Cleveland, they really dug in to all sorts of cities in areas with low connectivity to get that data. It'll be interesting to see how they do it on a broader measure once they get the ideas. There's been a lot of conversations on our show about how the ideas were generated and then how they get decided on. This will be really unique in how they appropriate the funds, how they make sure it gets the right place, how they make sure it meets the needs of where the idea came from. Yeah, it's gonna be an interesting one. It's a great find.
Yeah, so definitely keep an eye on that one. And if anyone knows the individuals running that program, we'd love to have them on the podcast to hear more.
For sure. All right. Well, I hope everyone had a happy new year. Thanks for joining. We'll see you next week. And thanks for all the support. Bye all.
Yep. See ya.
Thanks for listening to The Urban Complex, smarter cities for a stronger tomorrow. Please find us on where you listen, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. We do love your feedback. Let us know if you have ideas for guests or questions to air on Cracks in the Pavement via social media. The Urban Complex is found on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Or just shoot me an email, chris@theurbancomplex.com. Till next time.